There's that. I'm already Godfather once. Why not do it again? Hello, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday. I'm Sirius Black, and these are my friends.
Remus nice. Lupin, and there's four of us. It works.
Well, okay. Well, who's who?
I want to be Remus. I call Remus.
Okay.
James Potter.
Well, I guess,
Micah
is old Petri dish here.
You know what sounds even better? This 5-star review that somebody gave us on iTunes. Courtesy of Shepherd Commander, which is an interesting username to have on iTunes. I congratulate you on that username.
It sounds like an Atari game.
It does. So as this individual was out shepherding his sheep, he decided to write in, "Amazing show. Great discussions about the HBO series and the books that spawned the series. The hosts bring up lots of great questions about where things are going and what we might want to see happen. Plus, the owns of the episodes or the chapters rock."
Oh, wow.
I've got another good one here, too, from Coney Warriors. And they say, "This is hands down the best Game of Thrones podcast with a Swedish female host you can find on iTunes."
Aww, that's lovely. I'm sure there's more. I'm sure there's like 20 of them.
There is a second part to this review, and it actually touches on something that we spoke about before. They said, "I would give it 6 stars if there wasn't so many Harry Potter references." So great job on the way we started the show off.
Yeah.
We'd feel worse if there was actually such a thing as 6 stars on iTunes.
There's a blade tool within Logic for a reason, so we'll trim it up a little bit.
And one more review. We got quite a few after last week's episode, but this is a really nice review, really well written, really well thought out. It's from Carry On P. Don't make fun of that name. "I'm listening to 2011 recordings of this podcast team to get up to speed for the HBO March 2013 season 3. I think they were meant 2012, because we didn't exist in 2011.
Did we not? Yeah, yeah, no, I was just doing the math. Born. I was like, how long have we been doing this?
I was only just born recently.
But this podcast team did a wonderful job of recording a podcast after each episode in season 2, providing info on what was included and not from the original book series.
Boom.
They bring their own impressions. Oh, boy.
I saw that coming.
backgrounds, interests, popular culture references, and yes, interesting conversation. And they are funny."
Well, thank you.
That's debatable, but
relaxed and engaging team dynamics. Hmm. That plays into the whole Zach Selena thing. Plus, they've added this owns element, which I didn't get at first, but now fully embrace.
Yeah, we didn't either.
pick your favorite line from the episode that impressed you or made you laugh or that dominated the scene. Pretty much anyone can grasp this element, from the fantasy tech-oriented youth to the gentler paper-based generation, yours truly. So I guess a little bit older listener here, looking forward to following along in March for season 3.
That was a really, really sweet review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one out of one listeners found this review helpful. So,
And it's such a new review too. So someone's looking for. I love this review because it feels so much like a job review. You know,
it does.
It's like here's what Game of Thrones did. After each episode, they podcasted. They didn't even talk about the book. They talked about the show. I like that. They bring their interests. They bring their backgrounds. Like, everything was just laid out, you know? So, I really appreciate that.
And that's our plan, too, right? I mean, that's our plan for season 3, is to kind of follow a similar format.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got some plans for season 3. But, I mean, if just for you guys listening that aren't quite sure what to look forward to, it's going to be what you loved from the last time. And hopefully, we're going to throw a little hot spice in. A little hot spice. So, we'll keep it sizzly.
And then I resuscitated the camel because I felt bad, and the camel walked away.
Yeah, that's how I was born. The camel gave birth to me, so here I am.
Unbelievable.
Game of Thrones is a podcast. We talk about books.
Usually
we talk about one book. Actually, we've only talked about a book, and it's from a particular series called A Song of Ice and Fire. What is that, you may ask? Well, my friend, you've listened to this podcast because you do know about the HBO show. Oddly enough, it was not a show first. It was a book series, and it was called A Song of Ice and Fire. And the first book was called A Game of Thrones.
And this is
what the show is based on. That's pretty much the import of the entire podcast. We're here to share our insight on what you could easily find on your local bookstore shelf.
Speaking of, can I just say, I hope that it never slows down in the later books, the fact that people are vying for the throne, because then it, I just think I want the name of the show, A Game of Thrones, the name of the first book, to really effectively carry over to the other books. Mm-hmm. You know, because the seasons will all be named right. Game of Thrones.
That makes sense.
It does. But the question you have to ask yourself, though, Eric, is what throne?
Ooh, what throne? Ooh.
A Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Oh.
Not Games of Thrones.
No, there's even though that's game, what my mom calls it.
Games of Thrones?
Games of Thrones. Yeah.
There's really not more than one throne, though, surely. Surely there is not another throne that's as badass as the Iron Throne.
Ask Kevin
Smith. Bronze Throne. The Golden Throne.
Bronze Porcelain. Throne. Porcelain.
Perhaps he tried to take a shit on it once.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Oh, God.
Nobody's going to get that.
They're not.
Because,
if we recorded the pre-show, guys, like seriously, they'd kick us off of iTunes. We slipped by.
A lot of humor in this chapter.
Yeah, as always.
And we're introduced to...
Tywin Lannister.
That was
Shag
cool.
Shag a son
Come
of Dolph.
On.
Again.
Again.
Yes.
Again. No, I was reading this, dudes, and I was like, Micah, you really like this Shagga character, I can tell. And then Tyrion kept going on and on. I'm like, Micah, you and Tyrion have a lot in common, my friend.
We do. So the scene that really kind of would, I think, made a huge impact in the show, and they didn't include it, was when Tyrion's walking up to the inn. You know, he walks into a tent in the show where his father is with his uncle, but it's the same inn that he's captured from.
The Crossroads one, you guys!
By Catelyn.
Crossroads. It's back! They're
Wait,
at
is it the same inn?
Yeah, it is.
I thought it was, because when he was walking in and the girl had been eaten by, like, the birds, he was like, sorry, I just wanted mead.
Yeah, and
he knew it was all his fault.
Her teeth with the red where she'd been chewing the sour leaf, so her teeth were all red, and you could still see that, her teeth, as she was hanging
there.
That's
it. That is full circle. Nice job, George. Great work there. You guys should read this book if you're not. If you're just listening to the podcast, just read it. It's good. No, we got to meet Tywin, and that was so cool. But the coolest part about this chapter for me, because I love characters in the stories that I read. I do. I kind of like fall for my characters in a way. You know, does that sound stupid? Whatever. I
don't think that sounds stupid. Like an all-male chapter. I think everybody does that. I think that's why
even
we're
if
here.
It's all male, it's not a sexual lusting, Eric.
No.
Only right. only when you put pictures of yourself in Skype does that happen. So like when they're walking through the camp, you know, and you're inside of Tyrion's head and he's like, I'm glad this shit impresses him. And you just think for a second that these hill people come down and they're entering a camp of 20,000 soldiers. And it's probably a lot like the HBO show, honestly, like badass gold trimmed, like flags with a lion on it. And they're just riding through a camp, not just a camp, but a camp where the guy they've been hanging out in the woods with, like making fun of, is basically the king.
Yeah.
They're like, my lord, your father's here. Would you like to ride on my shoulders? He's like, no, sorry, you're not Hodor and you do not have a basket case. I'll move on. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool. Like, it was so cool to like see those other characters get hit in the face with just the reality of how powerful Tyrion is.
Yeah, and they're smart too. I think, you know, they probably have a worry deep down inside that if they just let Tyrion and Bronn walk down into camp all by themselves, who's to say that they don't just turn around with all those 18,000 soldiers and decide to kill these clansmen that have been with Tyrion the whole time? So they're like, no, check it, imp. We're walking down there with you. You're not gonna pull any tricks and screw us over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it says a lot to Tyrion's own clout within. I mean, those are his people for all intents and purposes. But no matter how savage or ridiculous they are, like they're rolling with Tyrion. Like these dudes are higher up than you are. You know what I mean? Like they're his friends. So it's pretty cool.
I like that he has his own set of friends, and that's the awesome thing about Tyrion. He just makes friends with all these random people wherever he goes.
Yeah,
and he really does, doesn't he? Like he picks up people.
Yeah. It was interesting. They're replaying the season, I guess, every Saturday night, and I caught it on last night, and they were showing season two. I guess it was the first episode, and when he comes back and he just walks into the small council, he sits down. He's like, "Oh, it's been such a great trip. You wouldn't believe. You know, I pissed off the wall, slept in a sky cell, went, you know, did all this crazy stuff." So it's just
he has
and
crazy adventures.
Awesome. He references this chapter too. It was like how he fought alongside the these clansmen. So
it's just cool little bits that you get to throw into the story of the show that. You know, because we all love callbacks to the scenes that we love. You know what I mean? I do. I love that in stories. I love when I get to get a reference back to something early, or like, for example, in Potter, when we found out that Hagrid was riding Sirius's bike the entire time. Well, yeah. I was like, damn, that's pretty cool. Like,
we're
so
never
going to
get
6-star
reviews this week.
I know.
Zach.
It's like Dunstan's checks in.
Stop.
When Mrs. DeBrow alert.
So now, is this leading up to the battle that was skipped over in the
yes.
show?
Yes, it is, and I think it was a little bit puzzling too why they left it out of the show. It's just
budget,
like,
right?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, but because clearly they had to save all that budget for chopping off Ned's head later on. in the season, but you're left at the end of this chapter with them basically saying the only way we're going to fight for you is if Tyrion fights along with us. So I really like, though, and it's no wonder these books are, you know, 1,000, 1,200 pages long, just the background that we get on all of these individuals that have accompanied Tyrion along the way when he's introducing them to his father, and specifically the detail we got about Timmit, son of Timmit, one of the burned men.
Yeah.
And how, like, they do all this crazy stuff to themselves to prove their manhood and or womanhood, I guess. And Timmit, just like, he's like, "Oh, I wanted to be better than everybody else. I stuck a stick in my eye and pulled out my eye." It's like, That level of detail is not necessary by any stretch of the imagination, but it just goes to show, like, how much, you know, George R. R. Martin goes into in his character development.
Apparently, yeah. Depth perception is not a trait that is valued in the their clan. People,
there's no need.
It wouldn't be Game of Thrones without this stuff, though, would it? Like, that's one of the things that sets Martin apart, is this kind of just crazy ass shit like that.
No, it's true. So the burned people are crazy. We learn that most of the time, in order to prove their manhood, they do something like chopping off a finger, you know, just maybe making a deep cut and just, it still stings. You know what I mean?
Right.
So apparently the burned people, they mortify their flesh with fire, which is kind of cool because you think about it, like, people get tattoos and it's basically the same thing, except it's like art. Well, they make art by burning their skin. You know, they don't eat it, though. You know, they just look at it and it looks cool. It's like leathery and they think that that's cool. So that's good for them. That's why they're called that. But in order to prove their manhood, they chop off stuff or they get a little crazy. This guy was such a badass that he was like, "I'm just going to stab myself in the eye." So he does. And so immediately they promote him. "You're a red hand." Like, yeah. Hell yeah. And then Tyrion was like talking to Bronn and he was like, "Hey, Bronn, what do you think their king had to do?"
Yeah, I remember that.
So, I mean, a lot of humor injected into this chapter amidst basically the bloody, murderous violence that's going to take place. I mean, they're marching to war for all intents and purposes. Hmm. So when they finally make it to the inn, they make their way into Tywin's room. And so Tywin and his brother are chilling in there. And we got to have a great character description of Tywin, which basically they said that he was a mid-50s guy that was rock hard. Like, he was super ripped. And he's the kind of, like, lean muscle is what they were saying. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So just like, you know, he works out, he does his thing, you know, he lays off the anabolic steroids. But it got to the point where his flowing locks weren't perfect. And I think we can all, you know, relate to this. And so what he did was he just shaved his head to be even more of a badass.
Yeah. And he comes across that way in the show too, I think, a little bit at times even likable, as we saw in season two. But I just like the whole scene when Tyrion walks in and Tywin looks at him for the first time in a long time, and Tyrion says, "Whenever his father's eyes were upon him, he became aware of his deformities and shortcomings." Mm. And it just, I think it just spoke to the power of Tywin and how sort of imposing of an individual he is.
Yeah.
As well as the lifelong goal for a child to please his parents.
Yeah. And then he goes into bringing up his sister because Tywin speaks at length about how Jaime is out honoring himself, killing all of these people. And he learns for the first time that Robert Baratheon is dead and that Joffrey is ruling in King's Landing.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't seem too happy about.
So I've actually been kind of excited to talk to Eric about this. What did you think of Tywin the first time we got to see him in
book
the book?
Tywin?
Yeah, book Tywin.
I don't know. I think it was fine. I mean, it's totally fine. I really want to read into his character with the traits that Charles Dance has in the book, in the show. So I'm going to need to read some more chapters with him because I want him to be exactly the same guy because I really like him in the show. Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah.
What do you think? Yeah.
He's not, though.
No.
I mean, he's a complete dick.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest differences between the books and the show, I think, is the characterization of Tywin, because they've chosen to completely alter him to give him a different relationship with Arya and probably a different relationship with Joffrey and Cersei as well. They probably need someone to be a voice of reason amongst all the craziness that is the Lannisters. Mm-hmm. But you just have to prepare yourself when you read the book that if you go into it trying to like him, who knows, maybe you will. It works with your friend Theon, so who knows.
But yeah, that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting though to see, because they're really, I mean, in my opinion, he's just a shithead. Like, there was nothing redeeming quality.
Yeah, well, I think too, like, I want to see him in battle in the books. You know, I'm gonna have to read book two and presumably book three to get more of that, more of him. But, you know, it was good seeing him. It's hard not to think about the scene where Tyrion walks in the show and he's skinning the boar.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. It's like that walking in on your dad, like cleaning a gun. It's like, I heard you got a boy come over later. Like, well, yeah. I just have a good thing because tonight I got to clean my gun. So enjoy.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing, just being formidable.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I thought that Tywin I thought he was a great character. I realize that he's a total like ass face, and that's fine, because I mean, there are worse things. He could be like Shaga. He could be the biggest dick and also be stupid, but instead he's a huge dick, but he's super, super intelligent. And he is, I mean, for me, he's one of the most enchanting characters I've seen in the book so far, honestly, because he really, really does love his family. And he desires power like everyone else, and that's his downfall in this book. You know, and that's the downfall of everyone, honestly.
Except Tyrion.
Like, he would be the Witch King if this were Lord of the Rings. So I'm bringing it back to Tolkien referencing. So how do you guys like that? Six stars?
Like it. Yeah, seven. Selena mentioned this earlier in the week on the last episode, but we get a brief mention in this chapter of two characters that play a role later on in the series, and it's actually Tywin who wants to send Tyrion out to go take care of Beric Dondarrion and Thoros of Myr. And it's just a great line when Tyrion's like, "If I should come across Thoros and Lord Beric, I shall spank them both."
That was really.
He could
funny.
Care less. He could care less about war. To your point, like, and Selena, like, as far as power goes, I don't think he looks for it.
No,
he's very kind of reserved and is content with life.
Mm-hmm. I think ultimately it's funny because Tyrion is in some ways really self-serving, but that makes him, in this messed up world of Westeros, that makes him really fair to everybody he meets, and it makes him really reasonable in a way that the other characters just aren't, which makes him really sympathetic to readers, because he ultimately just wants himself to have a good life, but he's not confrontational. You know, he's like, just live and let live is basically Tyrion's strategy, I think, his policy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He sounds like a hippie. I like
it. It does, but it's in a good way, you know?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's interesting that this early on in the series, he has somebody like Tywin reference a priest, the one who likes to set his sword on fire. Hint, hint. Who else do we know who likes to set swords on fire if we've gotten as far as season two?
Right.
So there's not just one crazy bitch out there who can produce shadow badges. There's apparently a whole a whole grouping of people who follow this sort of craziness.
So they got a father. Maybe Melisandre's a clone.
Uh huh.
Maybe she is.
Maybe or
she
omnipresent. Is.
Game of Clones.
Maybe she's.
Maybe Game she's
clones.
Thoros.
Game of Clones.
Directed by J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
Oh. No, it makes complete sense. I love the dialogue between Tywin and Tyrion, obviously. And again, I say this a lot, guys, but if you're not reading the books and just listening to the show, this is one of those things that you can just like hop into your local Barney's and Nobly's and just like walk in there and be like, hey, where do you keep your books with blood? And they're like, oh, Game of Thrones over there. And so you go to Game of Thrones and you just open this up and just read this entire chapter, because like when Shaga comes in, he just isn't invited in, right?
It's not like the show at all.
He kicks down a door and he takes the sword of a man like he has a sword because he's like, hey, I'm a guard. I have to stop you. My boss is watching. Shaga takes the sword. He breaks it over his knee, right? And walks in. And he's basically just like, hey, where'd you go? You left us somewhere. I don't think Tyrion, you know, he didn't think Tyrion was doing anything shady. He was just mad that he had to wait. So everyone comes in and Tywin has such a cool head. He's like, hey, who are you guys?
And then he tries to play him.
He does it successfully.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great line. And he says, you need not join us. The men of the Winterlands are made of iron and ice, and even my boldest knights fear to face them. It's like, yeah, Tywin. Tyrion knew right away. He's like, well played, brother. Well played.
And that's what I'm saying. There's so many asides in this where Tyrion like is just saying the funniest things. He goes, or because Tywin's like, hey, who are you guys? And Tywin's like, oh, these are my friends. Can they stay? They don't eat that much.
I dragged them home with me. They followed me home.
It's good. It's like he brought pets home. But I think my favorite part about the whole exchange with Tywin and the new people was that, did you guys feel that he was being genuine? Like that he really was like, because he called them my lords. And he was like, you know, I've heard that you guys are pretty badass warriors. I just felt like, I felt like he was being genuine. He was saying, hey, you guys are strong. We could use it right now. I don't know. I think he was. I'm going to agree. I'm going to think that he was.
You are? Yeah. I mean, I could see it, but I think he'll do anything to play the game. And I think he's playing the game right then and there because he's saying, hey, I can align myself with all of these really skilled, albeit batshit crazy, tribesmen. You know what I mean?
I agree, but like on a positive level, he was offering them more than they even agreed to. He was like, I'll give you that and more. Also, it's like obviously he knew it would be in his best interest to sweet talk them, but I felt like at the same time he was thinking, you know, these guys, they could help out. So I just feel like you don't get to that position of power by just looking at people and having dollar signs in your eyes. Like you have to be slightly sincere, otherwise you're just going to fail, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Also, Tywin's totally using these people to fight for him, you know, and fight his battles. Like, what could be better than having all this extra manpower that you don't need to sacrifice your own, you know, army to get the job done?
Yeah, no, it's true. But I mean, like, if they didn't have Tywin, then they could never get the Vale, you know, ever. Like, there's no way. So really, I mean, they need him just as much as he needs them.
It's true. Do we have any owns? I mean, I think we talked through a bunch of owns.
I do.
In this
particular
chapter. Go ahead, Selena. Share.
I've been staying awake this long. I'm going to say my own, damn it. Tyrion said, sorry to disappoint you, father. No need to leap up and embrace me. I wouldn't want you to strain yourself. I thought that was the best line of the entire chapter. Poor Tyrion, though.
My own is going to have to go to Tyrion because Tyrion completely, the entire time, was trolling Shaga. I mean, like a true trolling expert. He was a cop troller. He was just like, hey, Shaga, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with this manhood? Are you going to feed it to a goat? The entire time. I mean, he literally did it like 6 or 7 times in this one chapter.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, shame there's not a goat here. Guess you have to throw it in the fire. So, own goes to Tyrion for being funny. You won.
Yeah, my own goes to Tywin from the quote that I read before when he was trying to coerce the or trick, really, I would say, the tribesmen into aligning themselves with him and the rest of the Lannister troops.
And my own goes to the boar that got away. Apparently it can elude the book Tywin. Not the show Tywin. But the book, Tywin, he didn't capture it in this one.
Oh, but so. Sam Tarly's dad got it, though.
Oh.
So, who's dad? Who's,
Samwell who's, Tarly. It was Sam's dad.
Who's dad?
I got it.
But it somehow found its way to Robert Baratheon.
Micah didn't get it.
Micah. No, I got
that
it.
Was your cue. No, it's fine. We haven't earned it yet, Selena.
I think you're right.
It's always refreshing to meet, or to meet one of the future key players of the game, if you know what I mean. So Tywin's introduction in this chapter, it was fitting for him. And, you know, I just look forward to seeing him in battle.
But for how long will he be a key player?
I'm sure forever, because he's the father of the main villain. I'm pretty sure if you ride a horse that can shit in the throne room, you're gonna be around for a long time.
And if you would like to send in any of your owns from this particular chapter, similar to what we just did, you can do so by tweeting at us at Game of Owns or posting on our Facebook page or Facebook wall, right? Just kind of like the wall.
I have
it's
no
not
idea.
Really
just
like the wall.
The wall.
It's not like the wall.
Right on our
Game
wall.
Please write on the wall.
What if all the knights, the Black Knight people started just writing on the wall?
Please don't piss off our wall.
Please don't piss off of our wall, guys. Listen, here's
it takes a lot to clean that up.
Step-by-step directions. Here's what I'm going to need you to do. Open your computer, facebook.com/gameofowns, all right? Open full screen, so it takes up your entire screen, right? And we're going to need you to write on our wall. So just take, you know, whatever your favorite color of spray paint is and just write your name with spray paint right on our wall. Just write it right on there. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. But Megan, a perfect example of how you can tweet into the show, sent us a message. And she said, look at the names at the top. She's referring to a picture, which we'll throw into the show notes. I thought Game of Owns would appreciate this with the threats of Shaga and all. And it's a picture, I think it must be from a museum of different birds, and one of the birds are called goat suckers.
Cuckoos, pigeons, dove, swee, kingfishers, and goat suckers. So I think she's in a Pokemon museum, honestly, man.
Yeah, I think so too. But we always appreciate that kind of cool, I don't even know what you would call it, to be honest with you, when you send in pictures of goat suckers.
It's great when you guys send tweets our way, and you all know
that's
how,
what I was trying
how
to say.
Important and magical it is.
She is on our level.
When anything has to do with goats. So, yes.
It is true.
It is known.
Wait, have you ever seen the Ladder Goat video, Micah?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, after we're done recording.
I've seen the Voldemort goat video.
Well, trust me.
Oh, no.
This is going to change it.
We also got an interesting question. I don't know if, Zach, you can answer this. I think actually probably anybody on the show can answer this, but it's from Christian, and he wants to know, what Game of Thrones theme music do we use for opening and closing? And it's actually a carefully orchestrated piece that the four of us have done.
Acapella.
No, I was going to say.
You can't tell. You can't tell because it's the feedback's really high, but it's actually our voices.
We used Photoshop on it and some distortion pedals.
And auto-tune.
But Chris, in all seriousness, if you use the YouTube and just search for
YouTube.
For Game of Thrones remix or
rock
opening
rock
and
roll and
violin, you might find it.
Game of Thrones rock and roll.
And finally, one more tweet courtesy of Laura Hawk. She asks, can Sam please be a regular on the show?
Depends. I'd say that depends on how long Micah's voice holds out.
I know.
Why'd you say that?
I don't know.
Usually here, we have to edit his parts out, though. It gets a little too rambunctious.
He comes on the show when it's appropriate for him to be on the show. I think if he was a regular, people would get tired of him.
Yeah.
You guys?
Oh, yeah. They'd start slashing tires and, like, stop paying their bills. It'd be total anarchy. So
it would.
We're trying to be responsible, guys. Okay? All right? And if you want to be responsible, responsibly head over to hypeable.com. It's a website.
It is.
It's true.
And responsibility is the only thing that we tolerate. So no fooling around on there.
It's no place for fun.
Hypable.
You know where you can fool around? GameofOwns.com.
Yeah, that's where you take your craziness.
Yeah, that's true.
Take your craziness to GameofOwns.com, people, and click on stories and look at them. Crazy. Crazy.
Imagine you know what else you can do? You can rate and review us on iTunes because, let's face it, who doesn't want to give us a 5-star review? 151 people. felt the need to do so. So why
yesterday.
Shouldn't you?
Yesterday.
Just yesterday.
They did. And, you know, we remind you guys about the ratings for one specific reason. It's because literally, like, when you do that, for some reason, the way programming works, they have these little things that find each other, like little bitty mice that run around in mazes. And if you feed the mice a certain amount of cheese, then they get bigger and stronger, and then they go and socialize with the other mice. And then they, you know, eventually find another mouse that they fall in love with, and they produce a family. And the only way to get a mouse to that level is if you give the mouse the correct amount of cheese. And, you know, the people at Apple are really stingy, and, you know, each review is one shred of cheese. So we're just really working for our mice here. So if you just,
oh my God, help the mice.
Help the mice.
So cute.
So, yeah. And anything less than that, they actually slip little small vials of arsenic in with the cheese. So we're not trying to do that either. So help little Eric.
And you know what? And you know what? We don't just want Americans to do this.
See, now the UK knows what's up. The US, that's some fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to get more serious with our threats than you getting beat by a prosthetic penis.
Yeah, listen to this shit, motherfuckers.
What would Sam say?
We're going to break your legs, okay? We're going to come over to your house. We're going to come out in your yard, and we're going to beat the living bejesus out of you in front of your kids. So how do you feel about that, huh? All right. Perhaps we'd like to throw our hat into the ring, okay? Perhaps we'd like to, I don't know, have your friends like the show as well to find it on iTunes naturally, all right? Because we don't spam. We don't spam, okay? We don't do that shit.
Although. I do have to say now, you guys are so busy intimidating the listeners, but I think it's working.
Did you get another five reviews in the time that we just said that?
We got a five-star review, and I was reading it. I was trying to work out what the hell he was saying, and it's from Alistair. He writes, "I would like to rate this podcast 5 stars. Help! Send help! The show is really great. Fly? What do you mean fly? Oh God, shut that door! The hosts are awesome and say really funny things. Stop talking about Joffrey. We know you like him. Help! In conclusion, this is the best podcast ever. Who's that? Why do you keep saying that? Oh God, is that a prosthetic?
And with that, we leave you, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday. Be safe, because you could die tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm prosthetic.
That's terrible.
I'm Eric.
I'm Selena.
And I'm Micah. I feel like we have like some 80-year-old sipping on cognac listening to our show.
No, just me.